I've been saying this morning that it's kind of strange to, in this church, to preach in the same place 2 weeks in a row. It doesn't happen very often, so if you heard me 2 weeks in a row, you know, relief is coming, okay? But I'll still say, beloved people of God, grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this fall, we've been in a sermon series of sorts where we've journeyed through these three B words, which have informed and been a foundation of the vision of ministry for Mount Olivet Lutheran Church. That is believing, belonging, and becoming. And they've really served as our guiding force for mission, believing, belonging, and becoming. And today we start the third one, that becoming section of what it means. And, you know, what does it mean to become God's people in the world? And what does it look like? How does it happen? When, perhaps? And I've been asking this morning, anybody really got it down? Like, got it down perfect, you know, being a Jesus follower in the world? So I keep wanting somebody snarky to raise their hand. And so far, everybody's kind of honest that perhaps we all, you know, not maybe have some work in that. I think it's fitting that we talk about it on Reformation Sunday, too. That's why we got the red out today. We're kind of celebrating or noting what happened in the church 500 years ago, and a lot through the life and witness of this guy, Martin Luther, this medieval monk. And you see, back then, Martin Luther was really worried that he didn't live up to what God hoped for in his life. Even though he was a priest, he lived in the monastery and such, you know, as much as he prayed, as much as he tried, as much as he confessed, he continued to find that he had moments of doubt. There were times where he didn't treat his neighbors with as much love as he thought God would hope for. There were times where he just wasn't sure about things. It got so bad for him that he really kind of wallowed in despair. And in the monastery, they were kind of teamed up with confessors in the monastery. And so he was teamed up with another brother who he would go and confess, make confession to. And it got so that he was confessing so much and so many times that his confessor just got frustrated with him. It said, like, you know, go out and actually commit a good sin before you come back. And he was encouraged then to focus in study of Scripture. And when he started doing that, what happened is the promises of forgiveness and God's grace and presence with us always started jumping off the page. And it really took hold of him that this gift of forgiveness and grace really was that. It was a gift handed over in Christ Jesus. Nothing he could do, no amount of prayer could bring it forth. It was there already for him. And it cracked open his heart, and he couldn't help but then just get the word out. And it really led to a huge reformation, a reclaiming of that gift in the church. And so the scripture chosen for today, Pastor Los, I think, chose the scripture that we're using for these preaching series, but it's often a scripture that we will read on Reformation Sunday, the scripture from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. And I love it. It says, and we note it on Reformation Day because it talks about God's forgiveness. And did you also catch that it even says that God forgets? You hear that? I will remember their sin no more. I remember having a teacher point this out to me one time and put it that way. What's it like? You know, you got a God who's forgetful. That's kind of strange to hear. But this is a God who forgets even what has come before in order to make the future even better. You know, some of us, I know that I carry with me sometimes things that have happened in the past. Maybe things done to me or things that I've done, you know, I'm haunted by this. Why in the world did I say that? When even years down the line, and some of us will continue to bring this to God. And I remember the teacher said, you know, we get in that habit, and here's God who's forgetful and probably says, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore. And what good news it would have been for the people of Jeremiah's context. You see, most of the book of Jeremiah is him talking to the community and kind of, he's tasked with being a truth teller. Saying, you know, look, we haven't lived up to what God would hope for. We've followed other voices who told us to put our trust in this or that or some other leader in the world, and it's led to consequences of now the nation is in uproar and we're experiencing the consequences of it. Following paths leading to worldly power rather than heavenly love. And for this reason, much of the book of Jeremiah kind of gets depressing. There's a lot of sadness. You hear about God's tears and God's suffering, God's frustration with the people. But then Jeremiah, in the later chapters, in the voice of God, there is infused some hope. And we hear the scripture that Pastor Freeman read this morning, where God says, this is the covenant I'll make. I'm going to put my law within you so that it's written on your heart. You won't even have to be teaching each other about it anymore. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. In other words, this relationship with God and this relationship with each other is finally not going to be determined on what has already happened. It's going to be made new in the gift of God. That's a promise that grabbed Martin Luther. I think it grabbed him because he knew himself well to be a sinner or to have doubt in the world. And we know Martin Luther to be a sinner too. He called people a lot of bad names and such and sometimes. And he even said some really terrible things about our Jewish brothers and sisters that we must have to confess as well. But at the same time, he did understand this gift. One of my favorite things that he wrote about and preached was about baptism. And it's fun that we have Owen and Tatum here this morning because they're going to get splashed in a little bit, probably be a little surprised by God's grace. But he said that in baptism, essentially what happens is that our old self, our old sinful self, our old self that carries the brokenness in love and the brokenness of our own mistakes or just our inability, it drowns in the water. We die with Christ. And then out of the water is risen the new self, the new saint in God's forgiveness and glory made new. And then what I love, what old Marty added to that, he added one word about the timing of when that happens. He said, daily. That is, Owen and Tatum are going to come up here and they'll be splashed once today because it's good for all their life. But the effectiveness of how that's going to carry out in their life will be daily. Daily, they have the new relationship in God who says what has happened is gone and what our relationship now is new again today. Sometimes I don't consider myself to be a quote-unquote born-again Christian. But if somebody asks me, you know, are you born again? I say, yes. And then they ask me, when? And I say, today. And that really confuses them, right? And then if they ask me tomorrow, I'd say, today. Because I need that newness again today. So how is it that we become the people of God? And God's gift of love handed over daily. Any Sunday, we carry with us a lot into the room, you know. None of us even knows how much there is in the room. Probably some tough stuff going on in life, different relationships, maybe mistakes that you carry, anxiety, grief, depression, whatever it is. There's a lot there. And each day, God comes in to say, they will be my people, and I will be their God. And you have new life today. We're set free to go out into the world to love anew. Maybe even change some of the ways we operate. Maybe we'll be transformed to forgive and to be forgiven for ourselves. And so on this Reformation Sunday, be reformed. Be birthed anew. And even again tomorrow and the next. Thanks be to God. Amen.